bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. A few more people came in after I was sitting facing the front. So, so welcome, welcome, welcome. Always good to get together, we say. And there is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. Been looking at the theme of influence. Influence. We talk about it in various ways or areas in which we influence one another. And so this morning I'm going to talk about your influence where you're sitting. Your influence in the pew. By definition, I put in your notes, your influence is the effect that you have on someone else without any exercise of force. You just influence people no matter what. No matter who you are, where you are, somebody's watching you. And they're being definitely influenced. And the same is true in the local congregation or in the church, in the assembly. Somebody's watching you and you're influencing somebody else. It could be the one sitting beside you or behind you or in front of you. But you're influencing somebody. I put a quote or a poem in your notes. And I thought if I read this, somebody will say, I'd like a copy of that. But here's the lesson. I watched him walk in the way of life with heart and head held high. It always seemed my load grew light whenever he passed by. I patterned everything I did by what I saw him do. That he loved God, I could not doubt, because his life was true. I often wished that more like his, my way of life might be. Imagine my surprise to find that he'd been watching me. We're always going to be an influence on somebody. We're influenced. Number one, I put, you have an influence by being a member of the congregation or the church and by being in the pew. When Paul addressed letters to the churches, many times he would speak to individuals in that congregation. So we think of us, oh yes, I'm a member of the church, but we're also, there's a time for that church to assemble together and have an influence on one another in the assembly. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul begins by saying, to the church, or the congregation. And he says, to those who. That's right. So he's not just saying, oh, it's one and everybody. Those who. Those in the pew. In chapter 12, verse 27, he said, now you're the body of Christ, or you're the church, and members individually. Oh, look around. I have an influence on somebody close by here. When you come into the building, don't you start looking for somebody? I wonder who's here today, or they'll probably be here later. I'm already looking. Who's going to be here? You have an influence on me. When Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, he says, the churches of Asia greet you. And then he calls two by name. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Oh, the church? Assembled? You mean those Christians in the first century, they gathered together? You mean they met? Yeah. So there's a way that we influence each other in the pew, in the assembly. In Galatians 1, verse 2, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren who are with me. Oh, you mean brethren get together? In Colossians 4, verse 15, Paul says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that's in his house. I don't think the church stayed with him 7 days a week. But there was an assembly time. And Paul says, be sure when you come together, say hello. Greet each other. In James chapter 1, verse 1, James says, my brethren, well, that's us, my brethren, don't hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly, you mean there's an assembly? Yeah. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together. Really? Oh, there's a time for assembly. There's a time to be in the pew. And you have an influence when you're sitting in the pew. Even when you're not here and your pew is empty, there's an influence. I wonder where they are. I wonder if they called in. I miss them over there. There's already an influence on us, on one another. The Bible doesn't teach or encourage a membership at large, or for you to live your life in isolation. But rather, the Bible speaks of membership. It speaks of an assembly. It speaks of a time for individuals to be in the pew. So that's number one. Your influence by being a member of the body of Christ, by being a member of the church. There's a time for assembly. There's a time to be in the pew because you have an influence on others. Second, there are individual or there are influential opportunities by being in the pew. And I've listed several for you. First of all, by being in the pew, there's an opportunity to consider one another. And you have to be here to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 23, and many of you are familiar with this verse. The Hebrew writer says, first of all, let's hold fast the confession of our faith or our hope. All right, there's the first admonition. I want to hold fast my confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One way to do that is by assembly, by being in the pew. I'm holding fast my confession, my faith, my hope. And he says to do that without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let's consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works. You can do that in the assembly when you're in the pew. And then the next phrase, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Why would I want to assemble? Because it illustrates the visual of me holding my faith. And it gives me an opportunity to consider those around me and to give you words that will stir you up to love and good works. And then it says, after he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. That's not a compliment. Custom of some is not to assemble. But he says, exhort one another. When are you going to do that? In the assembly. And then it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see the value of assembly? Have to be in the pew. I put in your note, leaven, if you're going to be leaven is hid in the meal. Light is not put under a bushel. The salt has lost its, if it loses its savor, how can you season? How can you be an influence on those around you if you're not here? I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to lets you see something about the value of being in the pew. We are an influence when we're here. It gives us an opportunity again to hold fast, to consider one another, to stir up, and to exhort. And it's easier for me to do that when you're here, so I don't have to go to individual houses during the week. That'd take a long time. So while you're here, seize the opportunity to be influential in the assembly. If you know, the events of our worship assembly have an influence on us. Just what takes place in the worship assembly, I've listed them for you in your notes. Number one is just our songs. The verses that speak of our singing. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another. I don't want to have to go house to house and sing to you.
No.
I want to do that in the assembly. You understand the word? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when we sing the words of our songs, they are expressions of our faith to one another, but it's also singing praise to God. Our songs look in two directions. They look horizontal, and then they look vertical. They look up to God. So when we sing, I want to be a worker, you're singing, we're all singing the same words. I want to be a worker, you want to be a worker. We're speaking to one another, having an influence on one another just with the words of the song. When they have our prayers, we express our dependence upon God. Paul said in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace that passes understanding. Think our prayers don't have an influence on us? The peace that passes understanding guards your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Don't you like to hear your name in prayer? It has an influence on us. The Lord's Supper, it moves us, it reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for our atonement, for our salvation. Jesus said in Luke 22, He took bread. The Bible says he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave to them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. That communion has an influence on us. It brings to my remembrance the sacrifice he made. I'm moved. When Jesus said he took the cup, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Oh, let me hear that again. Yeah. Oh, I want to remember that. Greatest love story ever told. God so loved the world. He gave. That's impressive. In our offering, the text that was read to us, In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, the brethren in Corinth were taking up an offering for the poor saints in Judea. All right? And in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 1, Paul said, now concerning this ministry, this offering, your willingness about which I boast to the Macedonians and Achaia, Paul said, you know, brethren, what you're doing in Corinth has an influence in Achaia and Macedonia. He says, your zeal has stirred them up. Influence in just the offering? In verse 11, it causes thanksgiving through us to God. Ooh, influence? So now your giving has influenced those over there and us to be thankful. And in verse 12, this service not only supplies the needs of the saints over there in Judea, but he says it also is abounding through many to give thanks to God. Another influence. And in verse 14, it continues. And by their prayer, by those in Judea, their prayer for you, They long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. So Paul says, Corinth, thank you for your offering for those poor saints in Judea. Because of what you did, they're relieved. Macedonia and Achaia want to give too because they see what you did. It causes many to be thankful. And Paul says, it causes me to boast of you, to tell others. Preaching, I hope that influences you. Paul says, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. In other words, be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preaching has an influence on the listeners. So when we think about influence in the congregation, in the pew, you have an influence because you're a member here and you're sitting around others. We are influenced by the events in worship. And then number three, by being in the pew, we're influenced to be a willing worker. Is that 20 after 27?
Oh, 20.
20.
I'm influenced by the clock. I'm going to shorten this up a little bit. See my influence on you? We're influenced to be willing workers. Paul said, therefore, my beloved, in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, be movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Think about that last phrase. Yeah, be steadfast, be unmovable. But I want you to know something about your work. It's not in vain. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's value in the assembly. There's value. It's an opportunity to encourage and exhort one another. Be a willing worker. And then, number four in your notes, I put, be workers together. And I put a couple places, that Bible phrase, Ephesians 2, fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Fellow citizens, consider one another in the assembly. 2 Corinthians 8, Titus, he's my fellow worker. In 1 Thessalonians, Timothy, I'm my fellow laborer. Colossians 1 verse 7, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. In Philippians 1 verse 3, your fellowship in the gospel. In Philippians 2 verse 25, Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. You see, what we do is not done in isolation. Someone is watching us, even here, as we sit together. The last one I put, I'm going to skip a few things here. Influence. To be friendly in the assembly. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. I want you to use your influence, not just to make friends, but to brighten the life of somebody else. Years ago, when I was visiting in Woodland, California, attended the assembly there, the congregation in Woodland. And so I walk in. I see a few brethren people standing there. So I just walk in and I walk up and saw somebody in the middle aisle. I says, hi, I'm Brian from Imperial Beach. I'm glad you're here. He looked at me and, do I know you? I said, yeah. Well, I'm just visiting, but I'm here today to worship with the brethren. And all of a sudden his face lit up and he said, Imperial Beach. He says, 35 years ago, I was stationed at Ream Field. And so all of a sudden, an immediate connection and brightened his life up and smiled. And, yeah, we know each other. There was another time, Christine and I, we were visiting in Upland, California. And we were waiting for our son and daughter-in-law and family to arrive. So we got there early, so we were going down the pew, maybe deciding where we were going to sit. And so I went to one of the pews about halfway down, and I looked over at the guy over here, and I said, does anybody usually sit in this pew? He says, I'm visiting today, and I don't want to sit where somebody else usually sits. And he says, I don't know, I'm visiting too. Just sitting all by himself there. And so we start up a conversation, where are you from? And conversation. Be friendly. Be friendly. Do you ever attend a congregation where you weren't greeted? Did you go back if you weren't greeted? I want you this morning, kind of anytime you assemble, increase your circle. Enlarge your circle. I know sometimes we get caught, we stand up, we start talking to the person that's right next to us, we forget the others that are in that ripple, but be friendly. You have an influence. Don't let someone come in and not be greeted. Influence in the pew. In the pew. And they're quit. Okay. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to it. After Jesus ascended back to the Father, 10 days later was the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And Peter and the apostles stand up and they preach a good news gospel message. Included in that message where Peter and the apostles preach in Acts chapter 2, in verses 20 through 22, Peter convicted them that you have, by wicked hands, have slain the Son of God. He reaches a point in verse 36 where he continues that same thought. He says, this Jesus, he repeats it, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And then the next phrase, when they heard that, oh, they were influenced by the message. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Ah, guilty as charged. We've crucified the Christ. We've murdered the Messiah. They cried out and said to them, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. For crucifixion, for murder of the Messiah. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. With many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who are those who are being saved? Verse 41. Those that gladly received his word and were baptized. That's the invitation we extend to you at the close of every lesson. You're subject to that if you have not done so already. So let's stand and sing a song of invitation. If you have not obeyed that good news gospel message already, you have that opportunity. Just simply let it be known at the close of this song.